Welcome to Barry Maguire's Tales from the Trenches, real life stories of Canadian real estate investors. Learn more at www.barrymaguire.ca.
Yes, we do call it Tales from the Trenches, the basics. We try usually to talk at about two-thirds of my presentations about the very basic things that go on in real estate, because guess what? They keep coming up all the time in all the deals you do. And because I hear all of these stories where the basics haven't really worked, I'm going, okay, well, I must be speaking, say, Greek or some other language here, because whatever I'm doing, stuff still keeps happening. On the other hand, if everybody did it right, I wouldn't have Tales from the Trenches to do. So, you know, kind of balancing it off. So let's get going. So last month, we did a series on real property reports. And, you know, we went over a whole bunch about real property reports called surveys out in BC. And still, people are going, you know, exactly what is that real property report again? Let's just go over some of these things. A two-dimensional drawing of your property prepared by a professional land surveyor, a guy who goes to school for a long time. There's very accurate instruments. It shows your house, your garage, every improvement on the property. And you know what, folks? We are lucky in Alberta. We're lucky in Alberta because the basic contract says the seller has to supply you with a current real property report and written evidence of municipal compliance. That's what our basic MLS contract says here in Alberta. It does not say that in Ontario. It does not say that in British Columbia. And it's way tougher to think about getting one if the contract doesn't say the seller has to supply you one. So we're really lucky in Alberta.
And it's super more complex in Ontario as well to try and get it and to get it analyzed and compliance too.
It is.
We don't know how lucky we have it here if we only focus on Alberta, but I'm blessed, or other than blessed, to be go across the country every single month and see these different things. So we are lucky
more
here.
And more expensive, Don.
Yes, you know, much more expensive.
Takes more time and more complex. So the question I get often is, well, Barry, I mean, do I really need a real property report? Do I really need it? What about title insurance? Isn't that kind of the same thing, same job? If I get title insurance, the seller doesn't want to give me one. He says he'll pay for title insurance. Surely that's good enough. It comes up all the time. Mark's laughing in front here. Comes up all the time. So, that's what it is. How about what does it look like? As I said, people try and fob all kinds of documents off on you. Plot plans, grading plans, old survey certificates that are 20 years old. But it has to have Alberta Land Surveyor's Real Property Report on it somewhere. So, if somebody gives you something, look for those words. So, that's a couple things about what it is. So that's the standard phrase in the Alberta contract. Standard phrase in the Alberta contract. And remember, we're looking here to say, Barry, do I really need one? Should I get one? Here's some examples. So our members have a hotel in a small town, and they've got a neighbor who complains all the time. There's beer cans, there's cigarette butts, there's noise, there's parking problems. This neighbor harasses unmercifully. And so our members are going, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Maybe if we put up a nice big fence, that would stop our patrons maybe from bothering him, and it could have some noise preventing things built into it, and maybe that would do the trick. They go, okay, where should we put the fence? Did you get a real property report when you bought the place? Well, no, we didn't. It's, you know, didn't think we needed one. So they get a real property report done, and guess what they find? That the nasty neighbor's house is three quarters onto their lot. It's over into their lot. Over into their lot. So when somebody's house is over into your property, you know what you can say. Move it. Get rid of it. So as soon as they had this, they go along to the neighbor and they go, you know, we've been talking about the problems. We really want to help, and we know how upset you are, and we were going to put a fence up to stop all of this trouble, and here's the real property report, and guess what? There's your house. So our question to you is, we were just wondering how much money you thought it would take to move your house off of our lot and onto your lot. Just asking. Not a peep. Not a peep. That is a dead issue. Number two, neighbors and trees. So our member has a beautiful house in an old neighborhood. It's got trees along the border. He got a real property report when he bought the place, but RPRs don't show trees as a matter of course. It showed a fence that went along the property line and kind of weaved in and out amongst the trees, which had been there for a long time. There was eight of them. Six of them were, according to his arborist. Did you know that's the guy who does trees? I didn't know that. An arborist. He said, listen, there's eight trees. Six of them are like dead and ready to fall over and are dangerous. And if you know they're dangerous and they fall, then you've got some liability issues, buddy. And two of them need vicious pruning. So he wants to do something about the trees. So he goes to talk to his neighbor, the little old lady, the classic little old lady. She loves these trees, but she wants to be a cooperative neighbor too. So he talks about what the arborist says and what we're going to do. And one day she's, yeah, you know, it's got to be done. We have to do it. The next day she's going, if you touch my trees, I'm suing your, you know what. And she waffles back and forth, a bit of dementia going on, I think. Finally, he goes, okay, I got to figure this out. He gets a real property report, and it shows that six of the eight trees are on his property. If they're on his property, he can do something about them. Now he's solved this problem with his little old lady neighbor. She has to cooperate with him, and that's how he fixed that up. He was able to do what he needed to do. Another one of our members likes to fix and flip. Favorite property is a little house in an older neighborhood on a big lot. And he likes to take these houses. He's got a pretty good eye for it. Just kind of eyeballs them usually. Take them, put an addition on, fix it up, and let those folks who like to live in old neighborhoods closer to the inner city move in and pay him a nice premium for this house. So that's what he does. So he buys this house thinking he'll put an addition on the back of it. It's, you know, it's a little house. It's on a big lot. It looks fine to him. But when he goes to get his permits, the city says, sorry, that house is already pushed so far to the back of the lot that the backyard isn't big enough for you to put an addition on in there. There's no room for you to do that, so you can't do what you wanted to do. Title insurance doesn't help him with that because nobody's making him do an addition. So he had to sell that house, and it's a hassle, and it cost him money and time, and it stopped his renovation thing. If he had got a real property report at the beginning, like the contract said he could, he would have seen exactly what the backyard was, and because he knows his numbers with the municipality, he would have known he was short. And that's what the real property report would have done for him, but he didn't get one. So that's the fix and flip. Now, where does that leave us? Do you really, really, really need to get one? I say get it. The contract says the seller has to give it to you. That's a really good first starting position. Why would you listen to sellers who go, oh, you know, I've got one, but it's not current because I put a deck and a garage on. Or I only have the old survey certificate that doesn't show any of these things. Or I don't have one at all and I'd like to pay for title insurance. Don't listen to that kind of stuff, folks. I want you to resist that call to ignore your rights under the contract and take something less. That should be your first best starting position. That's what you want to say. I require a current real property report and written evidence of municipal compliance. That's your first and best position. So, what do we learn out of this? I think you can even make it better than this. I think that you should have this RPR thing as a condition in your contract. Do you know how it reads now? The sellers are supposed to provide that at closing. They only have to give it to you at closing. If problems show up at closing, it's too late to do anything about it. So I would like it to be a condition. So I want you to amend your contract and make the RPR thing a condition, not a term. Make it a condition, not a term. And then, you know, it still can be a bit of a tricky issue. So if you've got any little questions at all about why you should get one tied to what you're going to do with the property, sit down and talk to your lawyer about it early on in the game. Don't talk to him at closing. It's like getting your title from your lawyer or yourself 2 days before closing and finding a problem. All the pressure's on you to close, and you have no room to maneuver. So get it early in the game, make it a condition, and if you've got issues or problems, take it to your lawyer and go, okay, I kind of understand this, but I need your help on it. So call me, call your lawyer, sort it out.
Thanks for listening to Barry Maguire's Tales from the Trenches. Get the inside scoop on real estate investing from one of Canada's foremost real estate lawyers. To print this tale, and for more valuable investing insights, go to www.barrymaguire.ca.